gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It is written, I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. It is written, write the things which thou sawest, and the things which are, and the things shall come to pass hereafter. It is written, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks are seven churches. What thou seest, write in a book, and send to the seven churches, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamum, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the candlesticks, one like unto a son of man. When this passing world is done, when has sunk yon glowing sun, when we stand with Christ in glory, looking o'er life's finished story, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Savior's side, by the Spirit sanctified. Teach me, Lord, on earth to show, by my love how much I owe. Listen to this message entitled, A Portrait of Jesus, from Revelation chapter 1. John gives us a portrait of Jesus, not a picture painted on canvas, but a picture drawn with words. Now, before he draws the picture for us, he reminds us of two things, the blood of Christ and the second coming of Christ. It is amazing how many times the shedding of the blood of Christ is linked with the second coming. He begins by saying, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood and made us to be priests and kings unto his God and Father. Then he says, behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, yea, and they that pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth shall mourn over him. All shall see him, but that is not all they shall see. The thing that will be noticed above all else for the unsaved is the fact that he is the one who was pierced. In 1986, the Challenger spacecraft exploded soon after takeoff, and all hands were lost. A few days later, I was in a church service in Boston and heard the speaker tell how he heard that the last recorded words from the spacecraft a moment before the explosion was a voice that said, uh-oh. I cannot vouch for the accuracy of that report, but on that day when the Lord appears in the heavens, there is no doubt going to be multiplied millions of rejecters of the blood of Christ, where the cry will be heard, uh-oh. When they see the marks of crucifixion on the glorified Christ. But for the redeemed, our reaction can be summed up in the words of that gospel song, I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hands. Then John reminds us that he is our brother and partaker in tribulation and patience which are in Jesus. John was an apostle, but he did not have an easy time of it, because he was in such an exalted position. He had been exiled on the Isle of Patmos because of his testimony. When we become Christians, we all start at the same place, out of favor with the world, if our testimony is the same as the Apostle John. If we are faithful, we will spend eternity in the same place as the apostles. Has anyone ever shipped you off to a desert island yet? He said that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. There was no church service to attend, no class to teach, no sermon to preach, but John did not waste the day. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is Sunday, not Saturday. The Lord arose from the dead on Sunday, and the church began on Sunday. The first gospel sermon was preached on Sunday. The first converts were baptized on Sunday. The Lord's Supper was observed on Sunday, and many of his appearances were made on Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's Day. At the Council of Nicaea in about 325 A.D., Sunday was recognized as the Christian day of worship. Some try to tell us that we observe Sunday because of this, but they have the cart before the horse. It was recognized at that time as the day of worship because for 300 years it had been the day when Christians met for worship. The law that made Sunday the official day of worship simply meant that the world had finally caught up with the church. Some today ask, can I worship without going into a certain place at a certain time? They claim they can worship at home or anywhere else. The best answer to this is to say, you don't have to go to services anywhere on Sunday. You don't have to go to services anytime. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. However, can an able-bodied person be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day apart from the assembly of the saints, if it is possible to be there? One fellow one time told me, he said, I will see you in services next Sunday if I'm not in jail. He was not present, so I guess he must have had a good excuse. A voice like a trumpet sounds in John's ear, and he turns to behold Jesus walking in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. There was no mistake as to what the voice said. John heard the voice of Jesus as the sound of a trumpet. Ezekiel tells us, all who would preach the word, lift up your voice as a trumpet and tell my people of their sins and the house of Jacob of their transgressions. The prophet Joel tells it like it is for the church today when he says, blow ye the trumpet and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, and let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. Somehow I miss the sense of urgency today in the preaching I hear. That is why we continue week after week to send and sound out the gospel trumpet on the plan of salvation. When you hear the story of what happened at Calvary, the terms must be sounded out loud and clear. And Peter said, repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The candlesticks are identified as seven churches, not identified as seven denominations, but seven churches. In New Testament days, there was no denominationalism, no division as far as their identity was concerned. They all wore the name Christian. They all had the same baptism, and they all observed the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day. When John saw Jesus, he gave us the following description as he described what he looked like. He said, for one thing, he was clothed with a garment down to the feet. It appears Jesus was wearing his priestly robes. Jesus is our high priest. The Hebrew writer tells us that we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one who was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. Jesus is our high priest. If God is ever tempted to pick up this world and throw it into hell, it is still the nail-scarred hand of Jesus that stays him from that purpose. Jesus can say to the Father, I was down there. I know what it was like to be tempted as they were, and how to live as a human being. Paul further tells us that there is one God and one mediator between man and God, himself man, Christ Jesus. Jesus is our only go-between. We are not to try going to God through Moses or the apostles or through Mary, the mother of Jesus. We are to go to God through Jesus Christ and through him alone. There is one mediator. Then notice his hair. His head and his hair were as white as wool, white as snow. This is a suggestion of the ageless Christ. He is described in the book of Daniel as the Ancient of Days. Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. John informs us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God in the beginning. He was with God. The hymn writer has expressed it well for us. O worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing of his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilion and splendor, and girded with praise. Then notice the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were like a flame of fire. His eyes are like two great searchlights, peering into every darkened corner of man's imagination. The Lord misses nothing about any of us. He sees it all. Paul one time, in speaking of himself, said, I know nothing against myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, for he that judgeth me is the Lord. Paul says that he did not know anything against himself, but that didn't matter. He recognized that he could not pass judgment on himself. I know a man one time who was facing death, and he knew his time was short, and he lamented the fact that he had not done much for the Lord. Someone who knew him began to list the things he had done. After about 10 things had been listed, the man said, well, that's what you say, but I wonder what will the Lord say? Ladies and gentlemen, that's the question. What will the Lord say when you meet him? Man can compliment us, but that means nothing compared with what the judgment of the Lord might be. Then notice the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. He mentions his feet. They were as burnished brass as it had been refined in a furnace. We sometimes say that this preacher or that preacher stepped on our toes, or this teacher or that teacher really stepped on our toes, which means they got close to us where we live with the message that was proclaimed. When the Lord steps on our toes in judgment, he steps on the toes of the unforgiven with a foot that is red hot. Then notice his voice. His voice was as the voice of many waters. His voice sounded like Niagara Falls 10 times over. His voice sounded like all the high tides of the world beating the shores. The voice of Jesus is a terrible sound, especially to the unforgiven sinner on the day of judgment. Men may shake their fists in the face of God and say, God, you don't even exist. The thing that will bring these miserable wretches to their senses is when they hear the voice of Jesus, when he descends from the heavens with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Then they will call for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. Then he talks about his hand. In his right hand he held 7 stars. The stars are identified as the angels or messengers of the churches. As a star in the hand of God, we have security. Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Ladies and gentlemen, suppose the sheep stop hearing his voice and stop following him. Is that not obvious that the whole deal is off? To say that a person is always saved after accepting Christ if he doesn't persist in salvation's walk is a perversion of Scripture. Another thing he says is about his mouth. Out of his mouth there proceeded a sharp, two-edged sword. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow. It is quick to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That is why sometimes when a preacher is preaching about drunkenness, someone will be convicted of their stinginess. He may preach about money, and someone will be convicted about their immorality. The Word of God is like that. It just cuts and divides and reveals a person's sins, although nobody else knows it. Then think of his face. It says his countenance was as the sun when it shineth in its strength. No wonder John fell at his feet as one that was dead. I would like to have seen the face of Jesus as a babe in the cradle at Bethlehem. I would like to have seen the face of Jesus as a boy of 12, as he confounded the doctors in Jerusalem. I would like to have seen the face of Jesus when he said to the woman taken in adultery, "Neither do I condemn thee, go thy way. From henceforth sin no more." I would like to have seen the face of Jesus when he gave the Great Commission. I would like to have seen his face when he ascended. I would like to have seen the face of Jesus at that time. I would like to have seen his countenance. We have not been given the opportunity as the apostles. We can only see him now by faith. The songwriter, however, says it for us all. Only faintly now I see him with the darkling veil between. But a blessed day is coming when his glory shall be seen. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when in rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? Ladies and gentlemen, in this portrait of Jesus, we notice the suggestion of his humanity and his divinity. Look at his eyes. That reminds us of his humanity, but when they shine like a flame of fire, that reminds us of his divinity. He sees it all. His voice reminds us that he was human while on earth. But it had the sound of many waters, like the sound of 1,000 Niagaras, reminding us of his divinity. He had a mouth that shows us his humanity, but the sword in his mouth reminds us of his divinity, his divine word that will judge the world. He looked like the Son of Man, reminding us of his humanity, but his countenance, brighter than the sun, shining in the strength of its might, reminds us of his divinity. This portrait of the Lord reminds us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When John saw Jesus like this, he fell at his feet as one that was dead. Jesus put his hand on him and told him, "Fear not, John. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I am he that was alive and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." Then Jesus tells John of the mystery of the seven stars and the seven golden candlesticks. We are not left guessing as to the identification of these candlesticks. Jesus said they represented the seven churches. These churches, by the Lord's own admission, were symbolized by gold. Jesus addressed them as being the one who walked in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. The candlesticks, he said, were the churches. Jesus is walking in the midst of his churches today. His eyes, like a flame of fire, miss nothing. That is what the Lord thinks of his church. He does not symbolize it by saying it looks like lead. From the way some churches move, you might think that lead would be a more apt likeness. The theme for many churches during a revival would very well be, get the lead out. He does not symbolize it by calling it silver. He calls it gold. Jesus knows what was important to men. He knew that both saint and sinner need money, love money, want money. He knew that we rise up early and stay up late to make more and more for whatever purpose, good or bad. What is more valuable to men than gold? So he likened his church to gold. In other words, on the Lord's day, you have a golden opportunity to attend the worship service and gather at the Lord's table to celebrate the feast of the Lord's Supper. What a golden opportunity that is. You have a golden opportunity to place at least part of your hard-earned cash in the collection. You have a golden opportunity to sing the songs of praise and a golden opportunity to hear the Word of God taught and preached. These are the golden moments of a lifetime that many let slip through their fingers. We need to look upon the local Church of Christ in the same way that some people regard Fort Knox. The house of the Lord is full of pure gold. Think, too, if the church is like gold, then go for the gold as you search for the church of the New Testament. Why be satisfied with anything less? Go for the gold when it comes to the name. Wear the name Christian. Why be satisfied with a cheap imitation, a denominational name? Come on, go for the gold. What does Jesus think of the church? He symbolized it by gold. But remember, although Jesus used the symbol of gold to indicate its preciousness to the Christian, we need to remember the words of Peter, how he said, our redemption was not bought by corruptible things, such as silver and gold from the vain manner of life handed down from the fathers, but by the precious blood as of a lamb without spot and without blemish, even the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, Peter tells us in his first epistle that our faithfulness in adversity is more precious than gold tried by fire. The faithful life of the Christian is symbolized as pure gold by the one who redeemed us by his precious blood. Now this final thought. Jesus speaks of the keys. He said, I have the keys of death and the Hades. Someday he will open every grave. He can unlock every casket. He can unlock every vault. He can unlock every tomb. If someone inquires, what good is it to unlock the grave and look at a dead body? Remember that Jesus also has the key to Hades, the spirit world. He will unlock the grave and the spirit world at the same time and unite the spirit and the body and raise the dead. The saved will be changed and will have a spiritual body. We are not told what kind of a body the lost will have. The Bible is silent on that matter. Now perhaps it has been repeated so many times that familiarity has made us miss the significance of it. But listen to it again. Jesus said, I am he that was alive and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Listen to that again. Jesus said, I am alive. I am alive. I am alive. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45. 45-
1-4-2. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.